My name is Tom Fuhi and I farm here in the Blackwater Valley, and I farm at the moment 84 acres and I'm just after leasing another 27 acres off my parents. I'm fully organic with 10 years this year and I'm stockless bar two dogs. I do a rotation of oil seeds, cereals and pulses. I would grow a certain amount of, as we'd call, bread and butter crops. I grow oats for flavins that they use for the porridge, and I grow milling wheat, and which is for flour, or I grow some beans I got in from Finland. I mix them with the wheat and we sell them to the likes of livestock dairy farmers and that. I sell my linseed to Adora Flax for the last 7 or 8 years. It's either produces oil or toppings for cereals. I have been trialing pulses such as chickpeas, lentils. Locally, I'm probably known for growing lupins, a fantastic crop to grow. The lupins are known as the soya bean of the Northern Hemisphere, and I tend to grow them at the moment for pigs and poultry feeding to substitute instead of soya because it's non-GM. The fantastic thing is in Australia, they're using it for a protein supplement now instead of meat and dairy for sports. They're starting to make I can't think of the name of it, it's a bit like a tofu and stuff like that for it. So I have a few guys who've taken samples of that away, but what it does to me in the land is it absolutely, mycelium fungi in the ground explode when you plant lupins, and lupins make unavailable pea that's locked up in the ground available for other crops. So it's a win-win. It does multitude of tasks for me, basically. The longer I'm at it, the more I know that I have to be in tune with nature to get the crops to grow successfully, number one. Number two, that they don't have any diseases. I've noticed that when you do and bring in a balance in the crops that you grow and the diversity of the crops you grow, you start to work in harmony with nature, and your cropping tends to, and yields tend to get better as well. A combination of more than one crop in the field now is what you'd call a eureka moment for me, because you separate them after the harvest, but each has its own synergy and each supplies nutrients to each other. It makes them available for each other, and the biology in the ground tends to be in more harmony when there's more than a monocrop in the ground. I was conventional, and basically at that stage your fields were sterile, and as I say, the ditches were your sharp back and sides. I now only cut the side of my ditch every other year, and I have left them grow up. In nature, it's not one, it's all coming together. So my small birds have exploded in population. The finches, the tits, any small bird like that. I put that down to the seeds I grow, oil seeds, and you will have a certain amount of losses and things like that, right? And the habitats. I just love when I see the swallows coming back. And because I have such a diversity and I have more food, the swallows really love working the farm. One thing I witnessed this year, and I didn't see it, and I was trying to think back when I saw it last, and the last time I saw it was 40 years ago, because I have a pond near the pond, and I was weed surfing the linseed. I saw dragonflies in the linseed for the first time, and I stopped the tractor to try and take a picture, but he wasn't having any of it, and he went on his merry way. But I have hedgehogs back. I'm a big fan of the hedgehogs. I have my frogs back. I have stoats. I have a few buzzards, which I do like. Then when your small birds have come in, I have a little sparrow hawks around the place as well. So you're bringing a balance back into nature again. I have my earthworms, I have my beetles. I do not have a slug problem. And everybody said, Tom, you're going to get wiped out because you're not ploughing. I mulch everything on top of the ground. Okay, I have the perfect environment for the predators, for the slugs. you give a walk in the evenings, let's say some of the nice evenings in June or whatever, and just stop and listen. And you're going, you hear one thing and within 5 minutes you're going, there's so much noise and there's so much happening. And there's either one evening a hedgehog passed next to me. I always see it with her little small baby hedgehogs and stuff like that. And I was just going, yeah, things must be really, really happening. I'm making a living off the farm, but I'm farming with nature. If I didn't farm with nature, I actually couldn't make it work. Farmers, first and foremost, to be have to make a living, okay? They have to rear their families and things like that. Sometimes maybe farmers, without realising it, can get caught up in the rat race of consumerism and bigger is best and whatever they hear is more. I think sometimes if farmers would actually stand back and think about what they're doing and look at a quality of life and look at what's happened in a short space of time in Ireland, only in 30 to 40 years from the introduction of maybe the overuse of pesticides, fungicides and soluble fertilisers. But that's not the farmer's fault. That's the system that they're in at the moment. And it's time to stand back and things can be corrected, whether you're conventional or whether you're organic. For farmers who want to maybe introduce measures into their high intensive system in their land, what could they do? Well, maybe the simplest thing would be everybody has their hedgerows, okay? And first thing they could do, quite simple, is try and not spread soluble fertilizers on the hedgerows. Keep out that little bit. Why, you might say? What that does is the more soluble fertilizers you put in the hedgerow, it actually promotes the wrong type of species in the hedgerow to grow, and it doesn't give you a variety and a balance. Whereas you have more grasses, you have in tillage ground and your deer ground, you have your cleavers coming out, your sticklebacks as we call them, and you have fast growing trees and bushes like alders which tend to kill everything underneath. So if you just said, I'll back and I'll keep away from the ditch slightly, it doesn't cost any more money. It actually maybe saves a little bit of money, okay? And if you maybe fence back some of the ditches the way the livestock can't go up in them, and maybe not trim the ditches sharp back and sides. If you want to trim them in every other year and let them grow taller, because what you also do, people don't realise, is if you have northerly facing ditches, right, they're a microclimate, and even in a wet day the livestock will shelter next to them, and if you have more shelter then you have happier livestock as well on the farm for you to do something purposeful as that. And if you do have gaps, if you do plant them up, what happens then is over time you have a corridor for nature, for your wildlife and stuff like that to come in and habitat the ditches. Something simple, and it actually doesn't cost any more, and you have an improvement. By allowing the nature to actually grow and repopulate, whether it is nature, whether it is wildlife, or whether it is plants and stuff like that, you get this sense of mindfulness and a sense of you look around and you get more satisfaction from your job. You know that this can basically be in harmony with what you're doing yourself. And if you do that, then what you'll find after a bit of time is you'll end up instinctively maybe doing other measures in the farm. And if you do that, then what that can actually lead to is you may have healthier livestock from it. You may also end up by maybe reducing your pesticides in places and stuff like that, and you might have healthier crops and things like that. And it's a progression, but it's a progression from a confidence that the farmer builds up by some of the measures he took in small steps, saying, I'm going to take a little bit of a bigger step. What happens is you start to look forward to things as well. Even though you're planting and you're saying the spring has come, the evenings are getting longer, you'll see the primroses popping out of the ditches and things like that, or their snowdrops, and you'll see more wildlife starting to wander out and things like that again. And you look forward to the summer because you have your extra smells and sounds. And even though farming nowadays can be quite solitary, right? If you introduce this and you do have more wildlife in the farm, you're actually not alone in the farm anymore. You're actually part of a bigger community of what you actually become with the wildlife. And basically, they're keeping you company as well.